I'm just worried they'll get a fix on where I am. That's what I'm worried about.
They know you're somewhere in the flight path.
Yeah, I know. In what town? I don't know. Hey.
Oh, the Challenges of the Unknown archive. When did you get that? Is that Comic-Con?
Yeah.
Welcome to this edition of the Not So Common Podcast. I'm here with Frank. You're coughing up a lung already.
No, I'm the fine. Big Kahuna. Hi, how you all you doing?
What are you, from Texas now?
No.
It was a couple months ago, I think, we last spoke.
Really? I don't remember. I remember doing it, then I don't remember when.
I think it was. So, I'm exhausted this week, so we got Frank hanging out. We'll talk about some of the current events going on. We'll talk about Greg Popovich versus Trump. We'll talk about the NFL, maybe, and the controversy in Goodell saying you should rise for the anthem, the players, and whatever else is on our mind. Poor old Gordon Hayward snapping his leg. Oh, Jesus, man. That was bad.
That was ugly.
That was, what just happened with Paul George, you know, a year and a half ago, right? On the U.S. team.
He broke his leg, but this was like a dislocated ankle where the guy's foot
was off the ankle, basically. It was like floating off.
It was twisted, and then he broke his leg, too.
It was both.
So they popped the ankle back straight and straightened it out right there. And then
that was probably more painful than the bone.
Well,
I think.
Evidently, that was really good work by the EMT guys because that saved a lot.
You think so? Like,
yeah, they were talking
time
about
healing
it.
Time.
Yeah, and then now they just have to set his leg, and then of course he can't walk. You know, he's done for this year, maybe.
Probably.
I don't know.
The thing is, if there was no ligament damage, I guess they revealed today what was wrong.
Yeah.
With the elbow, but if there's no ligament
just
damage,
unfortunate.
It's
I mean, here's a guy reunited with his college coach, with Kyrie Irving, going to challenge for the East, and he plays 5 minutes and gets hurt. Like
yeah,
that.
And he's a great guy by all accounts. He's coming into his prime. Yeah. He's 27 years old.
I always wish he hit that shot against Duke. Butler would have beat Duke for the national championship. You know.
Okay,
that?
So he didn't have surgery yet today.
Yeah, today or tomorrow's happening.
Stupid ad. Yeah, it's one of those moments where you don't want to see because it's like, holy shit. Like, you saw the players' reaction. You saw, like,
yeah,
Kyrie, like, he was crying.
Dwayne Wade was praying. Did you see him? He was like this. He wouldn't even
LeBron
look up.
LeBron was looking down. All the bench. The Cavaliers' bench reaction was like they were horrified.
Yeah.
Because
they
know.
All fraternity. I mean,
yeah.
It's one of their guys, and it's something, too, in the back of their head could happen to them on the next play.
Yeah.
So.
And regardless of whether or not, oh, yeah, he's got guaranteed money, it's still awful for the guys.
Of course it is.
Because they're still competitors, they're still pros, and they want to compete.
And they want to play.
Yeah. The whole thing is that he wants to go there to Boston to compete and try to, you know, get to the conference finals, beat LeBron, get to the finals.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
You know, that's what the story is.
He doesn't play his whole life to get hurt and collect his money. That's not what he was looking
for.
Yeah,
I mean, well, some guys
guys
are fine with that, but those aren't the ones that you want to follow
right.
for. You know, the guys that just hang around, they're usually out
there. They're a small percentage because it's so hard to be a pro. The percentage of people playing in the NBA as opposed to everyone that plays basketball very small.
But if you're gifted physically, that gives you a large leg.
Yes.
If you're like 7'1", 280, you're going to
there's
have
a lot
chance.
Of guys, though, that you have to want it a little bit.
A little bit, sure. No, I'm not denying that. Yeah. I'm not denying that.
Most of the guys, really, they work their whole life to do it. In fact, look at all the guys when they retire. They don't know what to do with themselves.
Well, a lot of them get into broadcasting. Or
get into troubles, what they get into.
Or hopefully become a GM for a team. Or they go. A lot of these guys
don't
go play in Europe
or China.
A lot of them
don't know what to do. The football players are lost, half of them. They have no idea what to do with themselves.
That could be
CTE. Something else. Yeah.
What do you think about that? There's that news that they might be able to detect CTE without you while you're alive.
That would be
a protein
helpful.
In the brain.
And
I think that's
think
scary. That's scary for the NFL. Because what if they start doing it? If they figure out a test and they start testing guys that are 26, 27, they figure out, oh, shit, I have something already. I'm done. I'm going to retire after like 5-6 years and get out of the game. That could be a trend over the next 10, 20 years.
It guys, could be. But they said the test is even 10 years away or something.
Oh, sure. But if they're getting closer, there could be a shelf life
on
playing.
The thing they have to do is they've probably shouldn't have tackled football until you're after you're 12.
I heard later.
Or 14, whatever it was.
Your brain's more developed.
And also they should teach, they should get the guys to tackle and wrap up instead of launching themselves with their helmet. They should just teach them to tackle. It's not as spectacular, but a lot of times you'll get the guy where you don't, and also you'll avoid a lot of the head trauma.
Yeah, it looks like
you still could have tackle football.
So it's like researchers from Boston University School of Medicine have identified an inflammatory protein circulating in spinal fluid that may reflect the presence of CTE in patients' brains. The telltale protein called CLL11 appears likely to make its way into the bloodstream, where it might readily reveal the presence of a degenerative process akin to premature aging of the brain.
So in other words, a blood test is the test for it if they find this thing.
It's a protein.
In your blood.
Yeah, they find this specific protein.
It's possible.
So they're going to get there, I think. They have to. But I think that's the NFL's nightmare, though, because if this becomes a mandatory thing, what if you have a certain level that they know, okay, this is bad, you're automatically out of the game. You know what I mean? Like, the NFL would want to do that to protect themselves from lawsuits potentially down the line. But if there's a specific test that they know you're going to have bad brain damage later, they want you out now. This could have huge ramifications. Like, I'm not talking now, 10 years from now, though?
Yeah.
I'm just saying, you could have it where guys...
Sound like Tom Hayden there.
Who's Tom Hayden?
The lawyer for Corleone.
Oh.
And then they were arguing about the thing. He goes, not now, but 10 years from now.
You got to get out of business. you got to go legitimate.
They were talking about importing the heroin. Oh, and he goes, it doesn't affect us now, but 10 years from now, they'll build up. They'll have more police protection.
He saw the trend for the future.
Yeah.
And he goes, they wanted to say, quote unquote, clean with just prostitution. And
no, only the old man protection. Did, which is actually the opposite of the real story. Because
they all went towards drugs.
Well, in real life, all the other Dons didn't want to do the drugs except for the one guy.
Okay.
And he killed all of them and did it. Where in the movie, they make it, the other guys all want it and he doesn't, to make him more, sympathetic. Yeah.
Yeah. We'll get off on a Godfather tangent.
Well, that was okay. So anyway,
But
they have to do a bunch of tests on people that don't play football to make sure that they're
This is the key here in this Boston University study. It recently revealed it found evidence of the degenerative disorder in 110 of 111 professional football players who donated their brains to their program upon death. So it's like, if you play tackle football, you're guaranteed to have it at some level. Unless you're a kicker. you get it twice in 10 years.
Maybe.
Yeah. But if you're playing a game like this that's tackle football from the age of 8 up until 35,
About the linemen.
The linemen is the worst.
That smash into each other every play and in practice. How many times in practice do they do it?
Yeah.
Not just the game.
And even if it's light, it doesn't matter. That's even worse sometimes because you don't think it has an effect. That's like, they say with boxing, you're hit softer 150 times. It's cumulative. The same thing.
That's weird how Jake LaMotta could live with all his faculties till he was 95. And he got hit more than anybody.
And he was okay. Maybe he had a thicker cranium.
Yeah. Well, they said that about Hagler, that he was built perfect to be a boxer because he had a thicker brow, like an inch or more.
So like a little more cushion?
Yeah, and his
neck was thicker.
And his neck was thicker, and his arms were slightly longer than a regular person at his height.
So
his reach was bigger, and his skull was...
Well, yeah, Tyson was the same with his neck, where, you absorb the blows. Your head doesn't jostle as much. Your brain doesn't.
But he was built to be a fighter.
Well, what do you think? Were you built to be a fighter?
No.
What was the last fight you got into?
I don't know.
In your 20s?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Not in your 30s.
Been a while. Yeah. No.
You almost beat up that one guy that was talking trash to your ex. I think you were telling me this story.
Oh. Yeah. Well. Yeah, I once in a while I said something, and then of course she would just go where I thought I was defending her or doing something, and then of course when things calmed down and it was just the two of us, she would go, "Why do you have to act like that?" And you can't win.
You're supposed to be romantic, defending her honor.
No,
right?
They.
I think it depends on the woman.
Yeah, well, they don't like to see that in you, even though they realize why you're doing it. But
really, I think
a lot of times they don't like it.
Isn't that some women like to feel protected? I always
sometimes think. They do, sometimes they don't. They're girls; they think different all the time.
you gotta ride that line.
Yeah.
Of knowing.
So I just said I thought you know you were whatever, and she goes okay, but but first they got to give you the business, you know.
Oh, I see.
They don't like to see you that angry, you know.
Because I think it could turn on them.
Well, they think it's bad. Well, she thought it was just bad for me
to be angry.
To be that, like that. That it was
well,
bad
some for, people think. Know. Well, some people have the opinion that you shouldn't be angry at any other individual or have hatred towards them.
No.
Even if they're bad people.
Yeah. Like, it's just not healthy. Think that now, but I didn't think it then.
You didn't think it then?
No. So now I think it's bad for your insides to hold grudges and to be angry. I think it's bad for the person. And a lot of times it's not worth it. They're just, I mean, they're not worth it. But I can say that now. But when I was young, I never thought that, ever.
Were you more fiery in like your 20s?
Oh, I think so, teens? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
If someone rubbed you the wrong way, would you let them know?
No, it depends, you know, but I was different. I was a young guy, like any young guy, but now I'm not a young guy anymore.
Well,
it would be nice to know that the stuff you know now then, but you don't. You have to go through it. You have to learn it.
Oh, sure.
You know? So.
Well, you learn maybe not to mess with girls that might be taken, and then their boyfriends have a gang of guys come after you.
They came to me. And a lot of times I didn't realize that.
You couldn't tell? You never developed the radar for a girl
no,
that
I
had
developed
a guy.
The radar that they liked me. That was the radar I was interested in.
That's all you cared.
That's all I cared about.
You couldn't tell.
And
some
then later you find out, you know, who they're supposed to be with, and you're like, why? You know, why do you do this? Basically, they're just looking to make them jealous, or they're curious, or they're just bored, or they think their boyfriend's cheating on them,
so
they
go out
and
do
it.
Yeah.
Who knows what they're thinking? You know,
well, you got in trouble a couple times.
A couple, yeah, more than a couple.
Tell me one good story. Tell me one good story. Oh, you got in trouble.
One good story? Yeah. I don't know. I got enough of them. I don't know. You know, not that I got in trouble, but the one that was funny that we were in another town and we didn't know these girls.
Right,
we were driving down the street and we like waved to them like guys will.
You're
but
like,
we didn't expect them. They came right over and got in the car.
How old were you?
We were like 20.
Okay.
And they were all into it. And we were talking to them. And then I asked one of them, I go, yeah, can I see you? Give me your number. And then there was no cell phone. So you know.
You had to write it down.
You had to write it down on your hand or a piece of paper. And first she goes, no, I don't think so, because she was going to get married in like a month.
Wait a minute.
So I said, okay, that's fine. And we talked. And then when she was getting out, she gave me her number. And I ended up seeing her a couple times.
Oh, my God.
And so I was glad I wasn't marrying her. But I mean,
did you feel guilty at all? I guess not.
No, she was a kid and I was a kid. Who cares? I didn't care then.
Was she 20 as well?
Yeah, like that.
Well, back then in the 60s, that's when people got married. Still very
well, young. Or they didn't get married at all until they waited until after college. A lot of girls, when their moms had gotten married young, but they went to college and they weren't even thinking about it until after they got out.
Okay.
They weren't even thinking about getting
married.
So
a little more progressive.
Yeah, they wanted a career. They wanted a job. And they weren't sure. They wanted to get married, but
not right away.
They wanted to see what they could do.
That was the start of it.
A lot of it. Yeah, and it was good. And they were fun. I mean,
so you got to see Sarah twice before she got married.
And that happened a couple times. There was a woman where I worked. She was a little older than me. And she had never smoked pot, and she was like really straight, and she was about 6 years older than me.
She wanted to experiment.
So she comes by, of course, to get it, but we ended up doing it, and a couple, three times, whatever it was, and then I called her once. She goes, no, can't anymore, too close to the wedding.
Her guilt finally kicked in. After,
well, whatever, I guess she had a demarcation line.
Yeah, I know. 8 days before.
No, it was more before that.
But
I just went fine. But yeah.
And you never saw them again. Never ran into them.
No, I saw them. I saw her at work the next day.
Oh, wait a minute. You work with the one?
Yeah, one of them, she was, she was a higher up, though. I was just a, you know.
Was this when you worked at
Bamberger's,
which became Macy's?
Yeah, I was just a warehouse guy, and she was like an upper.
How the hell did you even interact with her?
Because she would come down to get the orders straight and whatever, and we would goof around, and then she came to me and said, look, you know, I never tried it.
There's a movie here somewhere, the lower warehouse worker with the freaking female executive of Bamberger's in the 60s.
Well, no, I don't know. She was like head of a department. She wasn't an executive. She was a head of one of the departments and needed to interact with us.
So you were like 20, 21?
I was like 20 and she was like 26, 27, like that.
Wow, what a score, Frank.
Yeah, that was very... She was very accommodating also.
Accommodating.
And very she thought I was fun.
Well, you are fun.
I was, and she was very nice, so... Whatever, I don't know. I mean, I didn't think about those things. Now, I'm domesticated after being married for 30 years.
You're not domesticated.
I wouldn't think of doing something like that.
I want to call you domesticated.
Well, I...
Because you live in a house.
I can't... it's very hard for me to... I can't lie to them anymore like I used to. When I was 19, you could...
What do you mean?
Just look a girl in the eye and lie to her or whatever and just to get what you want. I can't do it anymore.
What do you mean? What would you say when you're 19?
Well, I mean, if you... impress upon the fact how much you like them or not.
Oh, really? So you would say in order to get with them.
Yeah.
I always, but
I can't do that anymore. I've been trained.
No, I always felt guilty about trying that. Even when I was in college, I never ever told a girl I loved her.
No, I didn't say that.
That was your line.
I wouldn't say I loved them.
Hell,
no.
I never even. Well, with me, girls weren't really even remotely attracted to me. Until
I can't imagine that.
Until I lost a lot of weight in between junior and senior year.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
I tore my ACL playing basketball at the end of freshman year, and then I put on I got surgery, but the recovery was hard, and I couldn't really do a lot of exercise for like 9-10 months afterwards. So I put on like 35-40 pounds. So once girls started really talking to me, it was probably the beginning of junior year. That summer, I lost like... The summer of between sophomore and junior year of college, I lost like 35, 40 pounds.
Yeah.
Because I lost like 2 pounds a week over like 12 weeks.
Should have went out for wrestling. Place. They would have melted you down.
Oh, yeah, I should have. But my knee was like just getting there. It burned when
it
I...
It would have melted you down.
But I always had some sort of weird code where I always said, yeah, if I want to try to hook up with a girl, I want to be able to live with myself the next day. I wouldn't want to lie to her about, oh yeah, baby, you know, I really like you. I try to steer away from that language as much as I could. And it was even like, I remember even a couple times in college, I would say, hey, listen, just because we had fun doesn't mean I necessarily want to like, you know, start dating you seriously.
Right.
You know, I just felt like that kept me, not saying I was right or wrong at the time, we're talking about I'm 20 years old. But I mean, at the time, that's how at least I thought I could live with it.
Yeah, I didn't mean like lying him outright. I meant just going along with it and see what happened.
Well, that's not lying, going along with it.
I mean, sometimes I wasn't interested, but I knew that there was going to be a happy ending, so I just kept going.
Literally or figuratively?
Yeah, both. yeah, so I don't know. But now it's different. I just can't even look at them. I just like want out most of them.
You mean you can't look at them like...
Like, most of the time, like... Those little couple dates I went on and all, like I'd be sitting there and about 20 minutes in, I'm going, I'm done. I thought this to myself. I didn't say it. I said, I'm not interested. I was thinking I'm not interested.
Because
at all.
You're not interested in that person or just the whole
that
situation?
That person. Yeah, this situation,
well, that's
whatever.
Fine.
And then I just said, I just never called them back or whatever. So, of course, the women I'm interested in don't care about me, but that's like being in junior high school again, you know?
Well, Frank, you got to focus on someone that's a little less than 30 years younger.
Well, no, I am doing that. I'm trying to, but the older women just think I'm too crazy and wild, and the younger women just think I'm too old. I'm sort of stuck in the middle.
And you don't want to mellow out a little bit. It's a little bit, Frank.
No, it's half my charm.
It's your charm?
Yeah.
Well, when you were dating, it's a lot... Not that it's different, the process, but when you were dating back then, you can meet women through friends, through work, or...
No, it was easy.
It was easy for you.
And so you still had girls you knew from school. Even though you got older, you still knew them.
Well, plus, like, you grew up on the block, you would know everyone in the neighborhood.
Yeah,
you grew up with
knew, and I knew them, too.
Oh, jeez. Jeez, Frank. I never had.
You never went out with a girl in your
neighborhood. No, none of them like. I was first of all four girls on your neighborhood. Were two
in what you consider the rest?
Were two of them sisters?
No,
I thought you had a.
No, I went out with one of their sisters later in life, but that five then. I didn't count that her as really.
So it was a sister pair.
But that was years later. And she even accused me of that, of just going out with her because I wanted to get back with her sister.
And that wasn't true?
And not at the time. I said, no, I didn't really wasn't thinking that. In fact, I never thought to go out with you at all. You were just so into it that I sort of went with it because you were, it was fun or whatever.
So you had the confidence to be a Lothario when you were younger. I did not have that. I was the youngest, I was the youngest guy on the street, which didn't help. Youngest boy. Everyone else was like 2, 3, 4, 5 years older, 6 years older.
Yeah.
And the girls were my age or older, but none of the girls had any interest in me when I was a kid. High school, there might have been a shot, but I didn't go to a mixed high school. It was all boys. So
that's a drag.
You couldn't imagine.
I couldn't imagine that. That would have been like the worst thing ever. It was nice to be around the girls. They were drive you crazy, but it's fun.
Wasn't distraction in high school to study?
No.
You could still focus on your history and your geometry lessons.
Yeah, I mean history. Was good at, and geometry I wasn't. I don't think it was a reason because the girls were there or not.
Well, you being on the high school wrestling team, that probably helped with the girls a little bit.
And in fact, when I was really young, I didn't even realize it. I was a junior and didn't really have much experience with girls, and this girl who was a senior actually stopped me in the stairwell, and she was all like all excited and talking to me and wanted, and I was so naive. I came away thinking she was really into wrestling. But then years later, I realized, my God.
So she came to the meet and she saw you there.
And then you didn't
put two and two together.
Like a year or two later, I realized, oh my God, she was interested in me, and I had no idea of that at all.
I've had a couple experiences like that.
I was a kid. I was only 16 years old. I mean...
16? Sophomore year, 16. Beginning of junior year.
Whatever, yeah. Well, I didn't turn... Yeah, whatever.
It was later.
So, yeah. Age I was. I was young, and I didn't have that much experience. But I didn't realize what she was doing until later, which was sort of funny. I got a chuckle out of it. But I realized later, oh man, I blew that one. All I had to do was go, yeah, let's just go somewhere, do something, and see what happened. I mean, not that I thought anything would happen, but I just thought she was interested in the wrestling team, which was so funny. I mean, obviously she wasn't. Whatever. But there were girls that would come to the meets. I mean, it was really cool at the Friday night meet. Like, it would be Friday night or six, just it would start. So by 8:30. It was over, and then there'd be all kids from school and girls and stuff, and we'd hang out for a while, and it was fun. Yeah, whatever, it was fun.
Someone I think asked that on Twitter about the one that got away, but I guess it probably means like a love of a life or something.
Who,
like,
me?
For either of us, the one that got
away. Oh yeah, totally. I had that.
Care to discuss, or is it too?
Well, we were. It was, I guess, my first real girlfriend, but we were star-crossed as we got older.
Uh-huh.
And we never really hooked up and like we should have or could have. I guess it just wasn't meant to be. And her parents went a long way in keeping us apart because I wasn't this Jewish.
Oh, okay. And they disapproved of you?
So we had to sneak around, and that got to be a burden. And then, of course, I started to meet other girls, and, that happened, and then she met other guys. And then we were always, like, sort of offbeat. And then I even saw her out in California once, and that was...
Wasn't the same?
I was married
at the time. Oh, no!
But she came by for a visit, and it was pretty... It was sad.
It's like the end of the Wonder Years. You ever see the Wonder Years last episode where Kevin, Winnie goes away. They're in love when she goes away. When she comes back, like a few years later, Kevin is married, has kids. Oh. Which comes back, so it's like, you just missed your point in time.
Right, well, that's what happened to us. And then eventually she ended up passing away.
Sorry, Frank.
So that was the one, definitely. Yeah, but I mean, you know, it seems, it's weird when you're a kid, you don't think, when you see like a romance or love story or whatever movie or whatever, you think it's corny or just bullshit. But then when you're older, you realize, my God, that really does happen.
What, falling in love?
Well, and then it not working out. You know, you don't think about that when you're a kid. You're just full of, at least I was, full of optimism.
Love's a what? Love is a very deep emotional state. You can say it's slightly irrational. But sometimes timing doesn't work. I mean,
Totally. No, there's timing a million reasons.
And just where you are in your life doesn't necessarily mesh with the situation, your feelings. I mean, that's just, that's probably happened to tons of people.
It's easy to see how you divert, you know, a path. Like, you know, a rocket ship, if you're a couple degrees off and you launch it, you miss the moon by a million miles, because even though you're only a degree off here. You know, so like your paths separate but you end up...
You hopefully meet someone else that you like.
Which I did, and it worked out great.
Sure.
For, well, 30 years. So.
That's a good run.
No, that's more than anyone deserves.
I sign up for that.
Yeah, especially who I was with, and no worries.
Got a little grandkid out of it.
Got a great daughter and a grandkid out of it, so I'm happy.
You liking grandfatherhood?
It's great. Yeah, it's better than you think. You think you know, but you don't know until you're actually around them.
Do you feel like passing, it's like a generational thing, like, oh, I'm really passing down my genes to two generations down.
Yeah, I don't think of it that way as much as...
A little cute little kid.
Yeah, just to see them doing well. You know, that's good enough for me.
That's good.
Yeah.
Did you ever think you'd be a grandfather? Like, looking back when you were like 18, 19, 20? You
know, well, no, I wasn't sure I'd ever get married. I thought if I was... And then, you know, just the times I grew up in, it was kind of, you know, not the thing to do. And then I thought if I did, it would only be if we really wanted to have kids. And then I got to a certain age and I figured, well, I'm not really with anybody that I want to. I never met anybody. So I'm probably never going to get married. And then I was married like less than 2 years later.
Wow. It just bit you.
It just happened, yeah. We were only together for months before we got married, so.
Wow, I can't imagine that. Because usually, statistically, those are the marriages that, like, fall apart quickly.
We knew each other.
Oh, each other before?
3 years.
Okay.
But we weren't dating.
Well, that's
or
a little
whatever.
Different thing. Yeah.
But it went really quick, and then it lasted a long time, too. So, whatever.
Someone has a question here. I think this is interesting. Because,
okay.
Someone has a question. This is from Brian. How does Frank feel about digital versions of music versus traditional CDs, tapes, and records? Which I think it's interesting. I don't think you care as long as you can listen to it, right?
The digital versions do cut out a lot of the sound.
Okay.
Because even
a CD.
Even a CD does, compared to a vinyl disc, because the real aficionados, a disc is everything. A vinyl disc, I mean, is
record.
A vinyl record, because you get a lot of the sound that when you hone it down to the digital, you're wiping out a lot of the sound. So I think it's not as good, I would say. Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I'm in the CDs and all, but I think a lot of that is kept, you know, pretty much, you know, the original stuff.
What did you think about Tom Petty passing away?
Yeah, that was unfortunate. Bummer. And he went pretty quick, it seemed like. He had a heart attack and was, like, dead the next day or something.
They found him?
They brought him to the hospital, but he was in a coma and he never came out of it. He died, like, the next day. So I don't know what kind, you know, he wasn't that old. He was a little older than me, I think. And he had his lifestyle, who knows what he was doing. That's what he died of, a heart attack. Yeah, I always liked Tom Petty. He's good music.
Oh, we got off track with the NFL stuff, but let's talk about good old Greg Popovich, coach of the San Antonio Spurs. Has been very outspoken in the past, I'd say 6 to 8 months, about politics and a certain president.
And our lustrious leader. Yeah, Popovich had some interesting comments.
You're looking at a paper. I'm just going to pull them up online. But
well, I got the newspaper.
You
want to
read
them?
Right,
yeah, I got it.
You want me to read it?
Okay. Popovich called a reporter after hearing that Trump hadn't called the parents of four soldiers who had been killed in an ambush. And Trump said, oh, Obama and the other presidents, most of them didn't make calls. A lot of them didn't make calls. I like to call when it's appropriate. And then Popovich said, I'm amazed and disappointed on how much this by so much of what this president said, but and his approach to running the country, which seems to be one of never-ending divisiveness. But these comments today about those who have lost loved ones in times of war and his lies about previous presidents who never contacted their families goes beyond the pale, which because Bush and Obama made a real point of calling the parents.
Sure.
About, you know, I almost don't have the words. Then he hesitates. The guy thinks he's done and he goes on. This man in the Oval Office is a soulless coward who thinks he can get, he only can become large by belittling others. And he does this as, of course, a common practice. And then to lie about previous presidents, how they responded to deaths of soldiers, is as low as it gets. And I sort of agree with him that the guy is very divisive and he doesn't seem to have a handle on the issues. Even the thing with the kneeling for the national anthem, it's not about disrespect. He's on the thing, stand for the flag. But the protest is about social justice and the way police treat minorities in the inner city. And it's to bring the focus to that. And the only way that a protest works, if it makes people uncomfortable, because if you do it in the privacy in your own home, a protest, who cares?
Yeah.
So now, though, the NFL has called a meeting, and they had a meeting with owners, players, and the and Goodell, and they're going to start to do what they wanted to do in the beginning, is maybe do ride-alongs, have the community leaders and the police talk to each other, and maybe there'll be some common ground. And the president is supposed to bring people together because he's got to be the president for everybody.
Sure. He's not the president of those who elected him.
But he goes out of his way to just wedge everything. It's just unfortunate.
Well, I don't know what else to say. How, unfortunately, he got the juice to get through the primaries and then get elected. I mean, that's what it is.
Juice.
I'm going to punch you. Idiot. That's how he did that.
And you know, it's just unfortunate. You know, and he doesn't respect other people's opinions, which I guess if you're running your own company and it's all your own money, you can tell people what to do and they just have to jump.
By the way, Popovich served in the Air Force.
Yes.
Intelligence officer.
And he went to the Air Force Academy, I think. So he's not just some guy from my crowd, some whacked out hippie.
Some hippie.
Yeah, from the commune. You know, this is a guy that was in the military.
Yeah.
Saying this, you know, I mean, whatever.
I don't know. Well, here's the thing,
awful.
Frank. The protests have brought about conversation with the owners, between the owners and players, which is amazing. Because it went from saying, oh, you better stand, to, oh, now we support the players' rights. Now they're talking about initiatives that the NFL can help with.
Yes, which is finally, maybe it'll work out.
Giants owner John Mara said,
yes,
Giants are not having the best season. I think most of us believe that attempting to force the players to do something that they don't want to do is not going to be effective in the long run. The better policy going forward is to try to have dialogue with them and try to show them that we're willing to work with them on some of these issues that all of us are concerned about. That's been my philosophy with my team, and I think almost every other owner feels the same. Listen, I know that our position is not the most popular position in the world. Most of the fans that have written to me, the overwhelming majority of them, believe that we should be ordering the players to stand for the anthem, and that's just not a position that I'm in favor of. And I think almost every other owner in the NFL feels the same way. But let's get this straight. Just because most of the fans that are written to them say that they want to stand, doesn't mean the majority of people do. That's just people that are angry enough to write in.
Right. And it also, Trump's tweet after this meeting, the news of this meeting came out, was too much talk. We need more action. Stand for the anthem.
But that's not action, though. That's not action.
But he still doesn't get that the talk is what you do in this situation.
You have a dialogue. You say, what are your grievances? Why are you protesting?
Yeah, can't we meet on common ground?
How can the NFL help with some of these things?
Because I think if the owners go to the players and say, we're going to do some stuff in the community, the players would start to stand.
They would say, okay, we're having some sort of... It's actually working.
It's working.
And then people start standing.
So just like when... They sent an envoy to North Korea. Now, I know that guy's a nut.
Rodman?
Dennis Rodman. Not the guy that heads North Korea. He's an out-and-out nut. But they send an envoy over there to talk about it, you know, because there's nuclear weapons involved. As the guy is on the way over, Trump tweets out, what a waste of time.
Did he really?
I mean, he undercuts the meeting before the guy even got there.
I just think
even if he believed that, he shouldn't say that.
I just think it's funny that...
He's the president.
Well, it's funny that people have more of a problem overall. Some people, I don't, with players kneeling for the national anthem versus, you know, the sitting president calling John McCain a loser because he was a POW.
Yeah, because he got captured.
So to them, they think it's disrespect to the military by kneeling during the anthem. But right. when you actively disrespect a POW who had the shit kicked out of him for 5 years, that's okay because he's our guy. So at that point, there's no reasonable discourse to be had because you're not willing to look at the faults on your own side, right? Am I wrong there?
McCain, who is not, you know, the party on whatever, but I respect the guy. He put his life on the line. He got shot down over North Vietnam.
And he had the chance to go home, and he deferred it.
Because the other guys couldn't.
Yeah.
But he's a loser.
Yeah, he called him a loser.
And then how about the people that when the players are kneeling and they say it's disrespectful while the anthem is
They're booing. Yeah.
Now how isn't that I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah, it's not like it's not.
But
like,
now maybe something will happen.
I think any discourse is positive because it's exchange of ideas to come to an agreement. Because what the president is doing, there's no agreement on. He's telling you to pick a side and that's it. This is a war, and that's you. Like that's not what we're about.
He does that with everything.
Well, a lot of things. a lot of things. I'm not going to say everything, but a lot of things.
Okay, nothing's 100%. Okay, I'll give you that.
You have to have nuance when it comes to these sort of issues.
Yeah, he's got absolutely none. I mean, look at his hair.
Come on, Frank. You're belittling the sitting president's hairstyle. That's not right,
well,
is it?
Remember, Letterman used to have that bit before, I mean, years ago when Trump was just a hotel owner or whatever he was.
Yeah.
He would have a picture and he would show like the top eighth of it. And you had to guess whether it was Trump or a monkey.
Oh,
a picture, because sure. It was just the hair you'd see at the top.
He sued Bill Maher for Bill Maher making fun of him, saying that his father was an orangutan. And he actually sued Bill Maher for defamation and lost. But, yeah, this was years and years back. I mean, just...
And then you talk to any comedian that gets sued, and their response is, it must be funny if I'm getting sued.
This is NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell on it. He said, I think our clubs all see this the same way. We want our players to stand. We're going to encourage them to stand. And we're going to continue to work on these issues in the community. We'll address issues. I can't deal with hypotheticals right now. We'll deal with those issues that come up. But for right now, that's our focus. The fact is that we have about half a dozen players that are protesting. Well, that's false. It's a hell of a lot more than half a dozen. It's dozens. We hope we continue to work to try to put that at zero. That's what we like to do. Again, he's not saying they've been forced to do
that.
He's saying we'd like them to. On Tuesday, this is the article. On Tuesday, a collection of 13 players, union leaders, 11 team owners, and NFL executives met to discuss social issues and plans to promote equality and effectuate positive change. He said discussions about the national anthem played a big role in this week's meetings. So they're having a conversation
which is progress.
And some people said they'd never even get to that. The owners would just be steadfast.
No, they would just either do some, you know, yeah.
Do you think people are saying boycott? Do you think that's actually going to be effective or have any long term sort of effect on something like this? Or people will get back to, I want to watch football and not care
about it? I think most of the people that say they're not watching or they're not going are lying. I think they've turned the games on. The games are on. And the ratings are down because the young people stream the games or watch Red Zone. That's why the ratings
are down. All the fantasy players aren't actually watching the games.
No.
They're watching Red Zone.
Zone, or they're streaming the game, which doesn't come up on Nielsen.
Well, I think it's funny because these TV deals are locked in for years anyway, and that's where a large majority of the revenue comes from anyway.
The other thing is all ratings of all TV shows are down because of those things.
Sure.
Because people watch Netflix or
Hulu,
they stream
Amazon,
or they go to the computer in some way. But the NFL still clobbers every other show.
Sure.
Like, you look at the ratings, and 8 out of the top 10 things for the week are football games.
Sure. I mean, yeah. Speaking of that, we'll have to plug Amazon Prime, because you're now on Amazon Prime, Frank. Remember the video game years that you talk about Dragon's Lair and Pac-Man for like 3 seconds? It's on Amazon Prime now. So check it out.
No,
everyone.
I don't want to play any game. In fact, you have to really help me with my electronics.
No, I'm saying you're not. You're on the video game years on Amazon Prime. So you're your sister could turn on Amazon Prime and watch you on a show on there. Is that something? Because it's no longer just on YouTube. Are you trying to understand?
Oh, I see. I'm on there.
You are on Amazon Prime.
Okay. Is that my phone? Dude,
that's my phone, Frank.
Where's my phone?
I don't know, Frank.
Oh, here. I shut it off so I wouldn't get interrupted.
So
anyway, I got my one call I wanted today anyway.
Okay. So, I mean, that's where we're at. I really hope that there's going to be... We're going to calm down a bit when it comes to one side versus the other.
Please.
Because you don't get anything accomplished.
No.
You just rubber band back and forth when you actually think it's a game of political football. Like, nothing gets done. It doesn't.
It's disheartening.
There has to be compromise. There has to be
And I'm worried about the country and the planet as a whole, because I'm old. I mean, and I'm going to be dead soon.
You'll be dead after this podcast done. Like,
not after that, until I finish this beer. Anyway, no, I got to wait to see if the Yankees win the World Series.
Sure.
I got to hang on at least for that.
Yeah. That'll be you. You'll hang on to be 104. You'll be like, oh, let's see how they do next year. make it through the winter until pitchers and catchers report in February.
Yeah, a friend of mine said that. He goes, yeah. Because I would, with the Yankees got beat 1 year, and I would say, well, wait till next year. And he was going, yeah, for you, that is true. The Yankees, they'll be there next year. But my silly team, that was their chance. They're not going to be around for another 10 years.
Yeah, well with baseball, it's a little simpler. You can come back in a few years and be decent. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, look at the Astros. I mean, they went from two straight 100-loss seasons to the team they have now.
Sure.
And that was, they were very intelligent about it.
And baseball is the hardest to predict where you're going to
anyway,
end up. Yeah, it's very hard.
You got a couple of hot pitchers, you could ride them a long way.
I don't see, though, just in general, I think, we have the midterms coming up next year. I actually did a San Diego poll. They talked about asking about Soccer City versus, I guess, the U.S.
Right.
UCSD has a plan, too, that sounds terrible in comparison to Soccer City. But
I don't want soccer. I want the football stadium for state. I don't care about soccer.
Oh, well, the Soccer City won't have any public subsidies. So that's why that'll go through. It's all going to be funded by privately. But anyway,
the state get to play there.
Yeah, they can work it out. So if you look at the popularity ratings of the president right now, and this is 538. So they synthesize all the polls. He's at 38%. 9 months into the presidency, 38%. If you look at past presidents, that's never happened. Like, it's never been.
I think I'm at 27, and I'm not even the president.
No, you're higher, Frank. You're about 68%. Like, every president, when you look, usually gets the benefit of the doubt when they start off. When you look at, like, all right, we don't, like, it was a tight election. So everyone starts around 47, 50%, something like that. Obama actually started about like 65, which is pretty high. And then obviously it will go
down.
Well,
that was a
big deal.
Historical rush.
So everyone's like,
everybody
all right.
was all crazy.
Yeah, sure. So, but the point is this, is that when you look at all these presidents, H.W., George W. Bush, Clinton, they are mostly above 50% for a good amount of time before people get that upset that even the people that voted for them fall off. So already Trump has gone down, he got elected with what? It was like 48%, something like that, the popular vote. 49%, I think it's 48%. So he's already lost a chunk of support among the people that voted for him. So they at least have seen something that they have not liked in the past 9 months to already change. I just think that's interesting.
It just, to me, it all, it's, of course, makes sense. I mean, the guy is, it's just upsetting.
So you think this means the Republican Party is going to get destroyed in the midterms?
Probably, and it's really, it is their fault because they went with the guy, but.
Clinton was 48.2%, and then Trump was 46.1% of popular vote. That's how it worked out.
Yeah. And, but they're not all together with him either. I mean, they're upset with him too.
Well,
because I think it's sort of his thing is dragging them down a little. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see that if the Mueller report comes out and they really find some sort of like smoking gun for, you know, links with Russia during the campaign, which it looks like it's getting there, based upon stuff coming out with
Donald. He's just
going to
throw his son under the bus.
You
I
think
swear.
So?
Oh, yeah.
And then pardon him?
He's going to try to convince you that it's not really his kid. You know what I mean? I mean, that's how ludicrous he is.
I think the Republican Party will realize that they're going to have to get rid of dead weight at some point. I just think that's what's going to happen. They're going to be like, well, the whole party's getting dragged down to hell, so what are we going to do here?
It almost should. I mean, I've talked about this before, and I never thought I would come to this, but I was thinking about the way the English, you know, the parliamentary system.
Oh, sure.
How you vote for your party, and then whichever party wins the majority, they elect their guy.
I've heard that argument before.
And that way, it's not sort of a cult of personality as much.
Sure.
And I can't believe I'm leaning God that way, but well, it's been so... Maybe it's just been so crazy lately that I'm off my nut, but...
No, I've heard people make the argument that could be a more efficient way of making sure that you don't have like extremists get in or people that, you know, there's something to be said for.
And then at least the guy that's elected by them has their backing, so they could at least try to get something done. You know what I'm saying? That's the and then if he fails or the government fails,
the parliament can vote no confidence.
Yeah, and then they get
someone else.
Yeah, so it just seems a little bit more logical, maybe, but...
You're saying we've got to change
but
the
it's
Constitution?
But it's very hard.
Constitutional convention, Frank. Let's do it.
No.
Let's do it.
That's the problem.
Well, what's the problem?
Because I don't like tinkering with that too much.
Well, what you're asking for is an amendment.
I know.
So you either do an amendment...
So I don't know how I... You know, what I would do. And also, too... Americans are very wary of federalism when it comes to their community, which is why we don't do well in the tests like the other countries, because they have like one school curriculum through the entire country, which gears toward the test. So, of course, they do well. But in the United States, every community has their own curriculum.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So, and you're not going to get people to change that. That they'll bristle at something like that. Anytime there's been any kind of talk about a national curriculum, people freak out and they quote, they think it's George Orwell and they go nuts. You know what I mean?
It's tough because we have such a large population. It's very heterogeneous compared to
other
countries.
And it's very diverse.
It's very diverse. There's you know, lots of rural areas. There's lots of urban areas that are entirely different. So you have different objectives for your children, what they want to learn.
No, I'm saying that that's
tough.
Yes.
We tried No Child Left Behind. That didn't do that great under W. Because what they try to do a standardized test, and then it's tough to marry that with what the states want.
Now, you know, not even the states. It's each individual school
system. It
trickles
down. It's very tough. It's very tough to do. It's very tough with... I think we have one of the most unique nations in terms of population size and the terrain differences, geographical size. It's just
it's
lot.
It's almost like six different countries. Like
six different countries.
It would be like if Europe was one country.
That's actually not bad. Yeah.
And Italy was a state, not a country. Or Germany was a state, not a country.
You're not far off. You're not. Because when you look at the U.S., there's about seven or eight different larger regions that you can easily chop it up. You know, and be like, oh, well, there's one northeast, you know, southeast, northwest, West,
which is
Midwest,
what the English tried in the Civil War. It's another reason my dad was down on him.
What about the English?
Well, they backed the South.
Well, they wanted their cotton.
But they also thought if the country was divided, they would be weak. It would be two weaker countries instead of one.
They could deal with.
Oh,
well, they got to think about them. I mean, I understand what they were doing. I just don't like it.
Hey, they're our friends now, right?
Yeah, no, I get what they were doing.
Hey, it's all game of Stratego, right? Well,
it was probably the smart move at the time.
Oh, now you're going back to Godfather. That's a smart move. It was always the smarter one.
Yeah. He goes, oh, I thought it'd be Clemenza. He goes, no, it's a smart move. Tessio is always smarter.
At the end of it.
Yeah. How about when he tries to get up? Can you get me off the hook?
For old time's sake.
Sorry, Sally.
Can't do it.
And
he just carted him off to get probably shot twice in the head and thrown in the
ditch.
Yeah, well,
he was taking the ride.
Yeah.
That was it. Well,
taking the ride of what, to Westchester, where are they going?
I always thought Fredo could have been. All he had to do when they came to him was go to Michael immediately and go, look, they came to me and they're asking about it. What should I do? Ignore them? Pump him for information?
But that's the thing, though. Fredo wasn't that smart. It was ego. He thought he thought it was his time to rule, but he was dumb. He just didn't have the capacity.
God, I would have went right to the boss.
But you're not Fredo, though.
Yeah, I would have went right to him and said, what do you want me to do? You want me to ignore him? Or you want me to talk to him and tell you everything he said? Or what do you want me to do? He goes, but I'm telling you right now that they're looking to do something through me, which means they're looking to do something.
You're like a combination more of Sonny and Michael. You're like hot-headed, but you could probably run the family, but you probably would do some hot-headed
stupid
stuff.
Stupid. Well, I'd get killed right away.
Killed in the toll booth.
I would have got killed the same way he did if the guy beat my sister up.
So you would have got
I would have been shot right there.
You would have fell for the trap.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Because he beat my sister up. Fuck you.
I would have said, Frank, no, this could be bad, and you would just go off.
Just like he said, get out of my way.
Yeah, that was
well,
a rough
he beat
scene.
His sister up. He ain't gonna stand.
Well, sometimes you gotta take a step back.
Well, you can be that way.
Well, Frank, you get
that's
shot
why
up
you
now.
You should be the boss, and I should be
well,
the
Frank,
lieutenant.
I don't want you to get shot.
Well, I would be a better lieutenant. I'm a better lieutenant, not a good
keeps,
boss.
This keeps turning to The Godfather. How great that movie is! Jeez, what a you got. You
I
can
just
watch.
Saw it the other night.
Oh, you did? It was on TV.
God, the DVR, I'm like a crazy man.
You resisted the DVR. I told
you.
No,
I didn't want to pay for it. I got it for free.
It's the greatest invention ever. There used to be TiVo before cable companies had DVR, and people like TiVo, but this is built into it, so it's easier. And you get like 400 hours you can record.
I couldn't believe it. I have about 25 movies, and I'm only about, I still have 51% open.
Yeah. Yeah, you're gonna be a guy that runs out. You can search for like an actor and say, I want to record everything this actor's in. Your direct.
No, I just scan through and find them myself. I have a couple Star Trek episodes. Oh, I've been doing Good Eats too. You like Walton Brown? It's a cooking show.
No, Good Eats. No.
Yeah, I like him.
I tend to spend my time eating versus watching
nice.
Shows about eating.
Very good. I like it. Very good, Patrick.
but
you got to cook if you want to eat. So. And you might as well learn some. I love cooking.
You know
anyway.
What? Let's talk about Godfather. And you know, because you grew up in an Italian American household. You are you're second generation, right?
Yes,
I'm third.
Yeah.
When you saw this stuff come out in the 70s, what was the general reaction? You know, from like members of your family, other members, like did they think it was glorifying crime families?
Well, most of the reaction of my family was it was like the greatest movie ever, and it was because they could compartmentalize what they saw in the movie in the nonviolent family other scenes was. True.
The family scenes outside of the horror part.
Right. Was true to them. And the way
like
the
wedding
movie
scene.
Looked. Mm-hmm. Right. And the different things. And then a lot of the Godfather vignettes were based on real incidents, which we all knew about. So we sort of liked that too. And then they made the Don sympathetic. you're backing him by the end. And just to see a movie like that Italian was good. Now, later, you know, at least got the Big Night and Moonstruck, which was also really about Italian-American families and stuff, but without the gangster part. But the story about Johnny Fontaine getting out of the contract with the band leader is actually Frank Sinatra and Tommy Dorsey. Mm-hmm. And that was true. He was under contract for with Tommy Dorsey, but realized that he was the biggest thing ever. He was going to be as big as anybody, you know,
what he became. He was huge. Yeah.
Yeah. What he became, but the guy wouldn't let him out of the contract. And one of the he was friends with one of the Dons, and the Don went over and he was out of the contract. Now, I don't know what he did, but he got out. And the other thing about the movie guy, maybe not the horse's head in the bed, but Sinatra was on the down. His voice was going. He needed this part in the movie because it would reinvent his career. The movie was a real movie from Here to Eternity.
Okay.
He played Maggio, and he won Best Supporting Actor at Oscar.
Okay.
And that was another true story where the guy said, no way he gets that part, but he ended up getting the part somehow. I'm not sure happened.
He got a spoken to Hollywood mogul, got a little speaking to from someone.
Something happened. They made some deal. They did something, but he got that part, and he ended up reinventing his career. So those two things were pretty much true. Now, the thing they fudged on was the drug trade, because in real life, Lucky Luciano wanted to bring the heroin in, and all the other Dons didn't want to.
They didn't want it.
So he had them all killed and then eventually brought it in. Now, in the movie, to make Corleone more
sympathetic,
they have all the other Dons wanting to bring the drugs in and him not wanting to do it. So,
Well, that's the thing. Marlon Brando's character, Vito, they make really sympathetic. Like, oh, he's almost done nothing wrong.
Well, he ordered everything that was done. You have to understand that.
I mean, when you see the movie, it's nothing like... It's nothing unethical in terms of these guys. It was nothing underhanded that you see happen versus the other Dons. Like when they kill off Luca Braggio.
Sent Luca to spy on them.
Yeah, and then they just kill him.
And they killed him because they were one step ahead of him at that point. They were looking to take over. Mm-hmm. And when Luca came to him, it was easy because they wanted to kill him anyway.
Sure, because he was a muscle.
So they figure, okay, this is great. He's sending him. We don't care the reason. You know what I mean? So boom, he's dead. He's dead right there.
It's like 20 minutes into the movie, right? That's like gets a jump start after the
Yeah. And then also in Godfather 2, what is true also that the gangsters and Batista, the head of Cuba, were going to go into a partnership. In other words, they would not be paying off officials to look the other way. They were going to be partners with the president, in other words.
To run the casinos and
everything.
Oh, Jesus.
And Castro, for whatever people say, communism, this or that, upset their plans. And he did take over on New Year's Eve in 1959, just like it happens in the movies.
Sure.
And the gangsters are out because the gangsters don't have a place in a totalitarian regime.
No.
Which is also what happened with Russia after the commies got kicked out there. The gangsters took over the country pretty much, mm-hmm. You know, which is what happened in the opposite in Cuba. Then Castro took over and booted all the gangsters out. And then that's another reason why they link the mafia and the booted out Cubans with the Kennedy assassination.
Oh, true.
Because they're mad at him for all those indiscretions that they blamed him for. And that's, you know, that's part of their reasoning. I just saw another thing about the Kennedy assassination.
Which was
research.
Closing the book on it.
No, but there was this was research into assuming Oswald did it. So it's research into Oswald, and because they released documents, they found that Oswald was totally linked to those anti-Castro Cubans, and this guy thinks that he was did it, but he was part of a conspiracy by the anti-Castro Cubans that got had hung up by Kennedy in the Bay of Pigs.
Sure. No, that's reasonable. That's a reasonable thing to say.
Well, that's what I read that book, too, The Man Who Knew Too Much, when they had that Russian guy, and they go, the conspiracy guys aren't going to like it. They go, there was a conspiracy, but Oswald was in it up to his eyeballs, the guy said. And there might have been other shooters, too, there, but they're not sure whether they shot or not. But he had a whole escape plan because they found that bus route when he was trying to run and when he shot Tippett.
Yeah.
He was supposed to catch a bus, and there were six guys from that Cuban group that were renting places along that bus route.
Oh, I see.
So he was to take that bus, see when it was safe, get off this stop, and go right to that guy's house or that guy, and then get out of the country. But he never made it because Tippett stopped him. He shot Tippett, freaked out, ran, and his escape plan
got screwed up. And he never, he only had him in custody for like a day and a half, you know. But, that's what spurred it because of Ruby. If it wasn't for Ruby, this might have come out eventually. It wasn't Ruby. That's what compounded it. They thought someone hired, Ruby was just an idiot. That made it worse. That's what I mean. Look, you're scratching your head, but that's what happened.
I know, but it's your dad, such an
remember,
awful...
You remember talking about your dad said at the time that you saw Ruby shoot him live on TV.
TV.
Yeah.
And he goes, what the hell's going on?
Yeah.
And my dad didn't believe anything about it at all. He just said it was a big nut until Bobby Kennedy got shot, and then he said, okay.
Well, that was just the time where everyone got shot. Yeah, in the 60s, it just was.
We used to watch them like this when they were giving
speech. We
were like,
yeah.
Every time a guy was giving a speech outside with the crowd, you would look at it like this.
And turn away.
Because you thought somebody was going to get plugged.
Yeah, so I guess the only question is, it's a single shooter. You're saying there's a possibility they had a backup plan, other shooters.
But he was linked to those anti-Castro Cubans.
Yeah, sure.
And they really proved that they had a real escape route for him. Because there's no way that's a coincidence.
So did they round...
And six of those guys...
Did they round these guys up afterwards?
No, this is research now from documents released. You know, how they release them.
So the FBI at the time had an idea about this, but they kept it quiet.
I don't think they were onto it the way... Yeah, they might have been, but they never got those guys. And...
Those guys escaped.
It just... Never. And also, Johnson was very afraid that if the assassination went back to Castro or the Russians, what was he supposed to do? Launch them?
So he rather... Let's forget the whole thing no matter what.
It's a nut.
Yeah, just
forget it. Because if they proved that the Russians or the Cubans had a hand in it...
Oh, God.
What was he supposed to do? Attack?
You can't start World War III.
Or look like an idiot.
Yeah, there's no
so he out. Didn't want it. He didn't want it to go there.
I wouldn't want to make that decision either. Yeah,
me either.
Launch a nuke? Like, what do you do?
Yeah, it's a very hard situation. So he was happy when they came out with, it was just this one guy. He was out of his mind. Great. I'm all in.
Yeah. And who cares?
Thank you.
We'll just have that story. Yeah, maybe there was co-conspirators, but who cares? Yeah. They're gone.
You guys are crazy. Yeah. No.
Well, that makes sense.
I think he was really terrified that was starting to look
Oliver Stone was semi on the track there in his movie.
Well, to me, that movie is a movie, and it's a great movie, and you cannot believe it the way you can't believe Robin Hood is real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well, one's fiction entirely, though. Was Robin Hood a real guy?
No, yeah, Robin Hood was a real...
Was he a real guy, Robin Hood?
He was the Count of Locksley and had come back from the Crusades and King Richard and all that.
That was a story. It didn't exist. What are you talking about?
Okay, all right. The way... That movie is a movie the way any historical movie fudges the facts to make it dramatic.
Well, yeah, my biggest complaint was always about the time between the three shots. He for no reason, he deliberately changed the timing of the number of shots. Of the three shots coming out of the rifle to make it seem like it was impossible to do it, and it was totally possible. That was disproved.
Well, I've heard different stories back and forth. I'm still not convinced that there was, because the shooting is very, very difficult.
No, oh my God, Frank, he was a Marine sharpshooter. I keep telling you that.
No, he
was trained.
But that's
yes, he was. He was in the Marines. So what are you talking about?
That doesn't mean he was a good shot.
All Marines are good shots, you dolt.
All of
yes,
them.
Yes, they are. It's a requirement. You're a Marine. Don't that's, well, you?
It's still difficult, and the way he did it, and all.
He was a Marine sharpshooter.
Well,
you can look it up.
Anyway. Those are the two, and his history is very, very.
His Marine rank was sharpshooter. I'm looking at it right now.
His well, the government fudged.
No, he did.
I got him. I got him. Got him.
Oh God! Speaking of Oliver Stone, well. He's spuriously related to all this stuff coming out. There's been a major, I guess. Well, we always knew there was slime balls in Hollywood taking advantage of women, but right now, a lot of people are coming out against Harvey Weinstein, the famous producer, with specific stories.
And a lot of my favorite girls, too.
Oliver Stone, seems like he was slimy to one or two women. They're now at least speaking up about. We knew behind the scenes there was always bad stuff happening about manipulation of actresses, but I guess now they feel like this is a time that we start really. Coming out against, they threw out Harvey Weinstein out of the Motion Picture Academy. What are your thoughts on this? Is this something like you're surprised it took this long for all these people to speak up about the harassment?
I guess at some point, enough was enough. He was so whacked out that it had to come out.
The stories are insane, and it's like it's tons
and
of
it's,
people,
and it's all famous actresses. I mean, Gwyneth Paltrow. Kate Beckinsale.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I could see why he's attracted. And I could even see asking. But you're asking, they're not interested.
Well, they're not asking. It's like you better.
No, I know.
It's manipulation.
But I think they could. He's an idiot because he could have asked some that would have, because of their own mind, would have said, okay, maybe I just should just because. And it wouldn't have been harassment. But the guys have.
But that's not what it's about. It's about. It's
power.
About, it's a power thing. Yeah. That's what it's about. There was one. Terry Crews came out and said something unbelievable. Terry Crews said.
Who's
this is
Terry Crews?
Terry Crews, he's an African-American actor. Really big muscle bound. He used to play football. You see him on the Old Spice commercials probably. Bald head. He used to be on Everyone Hates Chris. He was a father.
Oh, okay, okay.
Let me show you. You know what, I can bring him up here. Terry Crews. You know what he looks like.
I'd rather you bring up Kate Beckinsale.
That's Terry Crews. You recognize him. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Terry Crews had a story that was... He tweeted out. He's like, okay, this is my story. And this is a huge fucking muscle-bound guy that would snap your neck. So he said he was at some sort of public function with his wife... In front of a lot of people, and a male producer came up and grabbed his genitals, like right in front of his wife. And
his junk.
And he felt he was powerless to do something because this was a really powerful Hollywood guy. Like he felt humiliated. Like what the hell could he do? Like his career would be over if he retaliated and beat
the shit. Yeah, see, that's the thing. That's the thing that makes it what it is.
It's disgusting.
Is that
it's an ownership thing?
And it's if you. You have to think, if I don't, especially the women, they're so young at the time, and they figure, well, if I don't do this now, I'm done forever.
Sure. They feel pressure.
So
like,
that's a position you can't put anyone in.
But the whole point is that if it happens to someone like as powerful as Terry Crews physically, you know.
Well, it's not about that. It's about his career.
Sure. That's the whole meaning. Yeah. Physically imposing feels like I can't fight back. You have a 100-pound... You know, young actress that feels like, what the hell am I going to do? Well, how can I?
Well, and they're like they said, they're at the beginning of their career, and they figure, well, if I don't do this, I'm never going to be in a movie ever again, ever.
Oh, sure, absolutely. This is the path I have to take, the disgusting path, in order to, you know, get that role.
I mean, he's such an idiot because he probably could have gleaned so much being nice about it. I mean, I could have done that easily.
He's a disgusting pig. That's the whole point. I guess he is. And now his brother, Bob Weinstein, is in hot water for that, too. But the other issue, though, is that they're now coming out against the people that might have known about this, probably did for decades and didn't say anything. And what do you do about them? Like, people are coming after Affleck. And people that were closely associated with the Weinstein company, they'd be like, hey, they're afraid, too.
But
you didn't know this guy was this bad? You didn't hear the stories? There was actresses that come out and say, hey, I've been telling you about this for years, that this guy was bad, and they were ignored. Or said, oh, no, you know what we're talking about. You know, you're just some nut.
They were probably terrified of their careers, too.
The people that are coming out against us.
Yeah, that if they said something, they would be blackballed in some way, too.
So it's like...
It's all like a power trip. And there's a certain amount of guys that have it, and everybody else, so it filters down.
It's the Hollywood's version of the Thin Blue Line, basically, where everyone is here. No matter what, you have to stay on the side protecting these fucking predators. You know, it's disgusting, but that's the way it sounds like it was.
Otherwise, I'm not going to get... The next time I pitch a deal, we're not interested.
Yeah,
you know,
there was one. There was one in particular that was slimy. I mean, they're all slimy. One was caught on tape where Harvey Weinstein's begging her to come back in the room, and she's like, "No, I don't feel comfortable." And he's like begging her and not letting her. And it's really, it's like, you're gonna embarrass me in front of all these people. And it's just like, yeah, you want to just shrivel up and die.
You're embarrassing yourself.
But there's stories of like the female assistants of Weinstein helping with this behavior. And it's just like...
Because they wanted their job, too.
No, it's just you want to take a shower. Like, just reading about it. It's, like, unbelievable.
See, that's why you don't have to care so much about money.
Oh, okay. yeah, it's just... It's a shame. You hope that there's a change, but...
I couldn't believe the list that when I saw it the first time.
You couldn't? I could believe it.
No, I mean, it was just... Man.
All these A-list actresses? Of course. There was rumor.
All hotties too, Jesus.
Well,
fuck! What a fuck!
Yeah, and that's just one guy. You don't think it's
throughout? Think it's everybody.
Not everybody, but to
varying degrees.
And it's just a power sort of. This is entrenched
down to just asking and taking no for an answer.
Sure.
Which is the route I would take. And then you're with somebody that said yes because they have something else on their mind. Fine.
See what I mean? You hold out for the 1%.
Yeah, why not? The 1% of the women we're talking about, I'll take.
But don't you think it's unethical though? If you're trying to cast someone for your movie to even ask because they think that if I say no,
say you like the girl though.
Well, you have to separate it then, right, from professionalism. You know?
It's very hard for me to do that. Well, Richard and I used to have these discussions all the time.
Well, I'm glad you're not casting these movies. Oh, yeah, Richard, your friend who...
was a teacher.
I used to
ask him about, the actresses he would be with and how they were babes and how you could never cross the line because parents are sending their kids there and trusting you to be their mentors, not their, predator.
Yeah, not the prey.
And I go, well, say you're... And I used to invent these hypothetical situations to see if he would do it. And he would just be laughing. He goes, no, you're just a scumbag. I go, how about if it was a woman that had you in a class, but you weren't her teacher anymore? So he goes, is she still in the school or not? I go, still in the school. He goes, no.
No.
I go, how about if she wasn't in the school? He goes, then she's not a student. That's
all
different.
All right, well, there you go. Wait till graduation, then you can
talk to her. Or if she quits or whatever. Then she's not a student and it's not the same thing.
Sure.
But you can't with a student. That is a real conflict of...
But based upon even what you said, even like, oh yeah, I would ask... You think being in that position of extreme power...
asking is bad.
Well, I'm saying you would have the temptation...
To ask,
to hit on someone that...
Sure.
So
I would totally, yes.
Even if it's unethical.
But I could take no for an answer, because I've been turned down a lot. No, girls, it's like baseball. You know, 300, you're still hitting. You're still doing good. You're in the Hall
of Fame. But your answer, though, shows me that, what if these guys...
No, they weren't taking no for an answer.
But I'm saying, though, what if some of these people, the power just got to their heads and it just, obviously, I'm not condoning this, but it's just well within them. Then once you start doing it, it's like almost like it's entrenched inside
Come
your personality.
Come on, Patrick, you're a big right and wrong guy. There's right and there's wrong.
No, I'm not condoning it. I'm just saying, I'm just thinking about how this becomes something so systemic that it's almost built into the system.
I just think it's because basically they're guys and they're surrounded by the most beautiful women in the world and they're figuring
that combined with the power that they have that they're gonna go for it.
Yeah, just like Crab at the buffet. I'm getting
Crab at the buffet?
I'm getting the crab legs because that's the best thing.
Oh, well,
and that's what they're doing.
If you want to make a buffet comparison,
no, I mean, but that's the way they're doing it. They and then anyway,
just because they can,
they
get away
owe
with
me.
It. Just because they can get away with it,
and they owe me.
They can get away with it, and okay.
They were nothing. I'm making them. They were nothing. They were a waitress in Fargo. I'm making them. They owe me.
You think that's what it is?
Totally.
They're a waitress in Fargo.
You know what I'm saying? Like, know what I'm saying?
I can make your career. I can make you a millionaire.
I'm making you.
You should do this for me. And that sort of mentality.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So it's just sort of a sick quid pro quo thing.
Plus, they're horny guys, and they're the most beautiful women in the world. They're confronted with on a daily basis.
So just a bad maelstrom of everything thrown together for these scumbags.
But they're still doing something that's wrong.
It's horrible.
They're still wrong.
It's absolutely horrible.
And I'm still thinking they can get away with just asking
politely
and taking no for an answer. Well, they're still going to make out.
If they could, that would have happened, and you wouldn't have tons of these.
I think that
out.
Does happen with some of them.
Or they at least wait till they're at a party 8 months later to hit on a girl.
Yeah,
hit on an actress. They don't do it while they're casting them.
Exactly,
it's unethical.
It's easy because there's always a party now from someone from 8 months ago.
Exactly. All right, well, we're gonna move on from that. But let's try to see anything else before we finish up here. I'm hungry for tacos. I'm just starving. I'm going to Portland this weekend, Frank. We gotta get you out
get
there.
Tacos.
Not to get tacos. Well, I'm sure they have nice tacos there. I'm going to Portland for. Retro Gaming Expo, that's going to be fun.
I'm not. I'm
going to be relaxing.
Yeah.
Someone's asking what's inside Area 51. I think it's just a bunch of government projects.
I think it's government projects that they're not interested in the UFO hunters finding out. They don't want the Russians to know.
Or the
Chinese. I think that's a real possibility. But there are some. Once in a while, there's a there's a UFO report from a credible witness with radar, with all this other stuff that's unknown.
Sure.
Maybe 2%, 3% that nobody knows what it is.
But you would think that with all the attention in Area 51, we would not put alien craft there. It's like, why would you put it there if everyone thinks it's there? That's the way I look at it. It's like, would you have some other super secret base somewhere?
Why
don't you put the base up in freaking Alaska where no one is? You know?
No, even if you put it 10 miles away from looking here, what's the difference?
Put a Lake Tahoe somewhere. Yeah. Put it somewhere else.
What's the difference? I mean, no, I just think it's government stuff and they don't want other governments to know. It's not like some UFO.
Occam's razor, right?
Huh?
Occam's razor, the simplest explanation.
As a lot of time is the real one, yes,
yeah,
of course.
That's what I say.
Why wouldn't...
And that's not to say there have been alien visitations, but for Area 51, I don't know about that. I think it's just they want to have their own little special...
And a lot of this stuff, especially in the 90s and all, was all that stealth fighters and the fighter bombers that didn't look... When you see them from angles, it doesn't look like an airplane even.
Sure. And when you think about how much billions of dollars we have towards a quote-unquote black project that we don't even know what they are, where do you think they're developing? Outside the Home Depot? They're putting them together?
Yeah.
They're doing them as secret installations.
And they don't want foreign governments to know what they're doing. It's just pretty obvious to me. I mean...
And we want to believe in this stuff. Right?
I do.
Like, I want to do.
And I'll believe in, like, I'll go with the 2 or 3% that of sightings and incidents that no one can explain. And there's a bunch of them, and I don't know what they are, and no one else knows what they are either. That Japanese airline pilot that saw that thing.
Oh, that's a weird story. We'll talk about that next time.
That they have radar proof of also...
of something. Yeah.
I mean, that's something. I mean, I don't know what it is.
That one time...
it's not nothing.
That one time when they had the... what is it? When the nuclear systems were armed for a short period of time. That's something that actually happened, right?
And then the thing in Rendlesham Forest in England.
Ooh, that's a
and they tried
one.
To say it was the lighthouse.
Oh,
and the guy, come on.
That's
man.
Bizarre.
It's not the lighthouse.
You think that would ever come out, that information about what it is? I mean, it has to be stored somewhere. They took pictures of the things.
I know.
Things floating around.
And then
around
the guy, how about the guy that wrote, got some blast and wrote down like a bunch of zeros and ones, and it turned out to be some weird mess. I mean, that was a very weird story. And you have military to this day swearing that's what happened. I mean,
that's what.
And that Japanese airline pilot, he ended up what they call flying a desk from then on.
They didn't believe him.
No, they were pissed that he came out and he didn't advance and fly anymore.
Yeah. There's always...
that's why the guys wouldn't say anything. They were afraid it's going to ruin their career.
Fortunately, though, everyone has these cameras and video cameras in our hands now. So if something like that happened, you know, there'd be 30 people that would be able
well,
to snap
yeah,
it.
Well, they have a lot of pictures and stuff, and they always try to say it's flares or it's this or it's that. And you look at it and you go, no way, man.
But that giant thing that was over
in
Arizona,
they go, it's
15,
flares.
20, was that 20 years ago?
Yeah, it's flares.
It wasn't flares. It was, I don't know what it was. Flares
it wasn't
don't,
flares.
Yeah, flares don't stay in perfect patterns and move, you know, with each other. All right, Frank.
Ridiculous.
Thanks for hanging out. Let me tell you and the audience about That's It Fruit and Veggie Bars. That's a sponsor. So That's It Fruit Bars, Frank. The only thing in these fruit bars is just fruit.
Is it what? They got watermelon?
I know they have watermelon, but they have apple and like mango. There's apple
good.
And pear. There's apple and cherry. Apple and strawberry. Apple
cherry.
And blueberry. So that's it. That's all that's in it. It's non-GMO. It's organic. They don't add anything else into the fruit bars. They're under 100
cool.
calories.
I'm in on
they're
it.
They're fantastic. I can give you a
they're
sample.
They're like ice bars, right?
No, they're bars. Like think of like
oh,
a snack
like
bar.
Oh, not like frozen.
Not frozen.
Oh, okay.
Snack bar. You can,
oh, a snack
you, don't,
bar.
You don't eat while you work, but you could.
No, I don't.
You know?
I don't eat.
So,
I ate when I came home.
So it's a, like it'll say like on the wrapper, this is a one full apple. And like a pear that it compressed in, and you eat it.
Oh, nice.
And it's
cool.
A blast of flavor, and there's no other crap in it.
Oh,
and they also
nice.
Have That's It veggie bars. Slightly different. They're like a healthier alternative to like a granola bar. So they're usually like black beans and peas, black beans and corn, black beans and carrots, black beans and kale. So they're under 100 calories. They add a little bit of like sea salt and glycerin to hold it together, but it's all natural ingredients too. There's fiber in it. There's a little bit of protein, and I like one a day almost. I'll put a little bit of even peanut butter on there, and it's just a light snack.
Yo, I want to try the fruit ones then. Definitely.
I should have given you some. I didn't know
well,
you'd want
okay.
them. Next time we you know they can sponsor you too. So go to thatsitfruit.com. Enter code not common, and you save 10%.
So now what am I on now? I'm on television now.
Television, let me finish the read. That's it, fruit.com. Enter code not common, and you save 10% on any new order there. It's fantastic. Again, there's no added sugar to these bars. They're allergen-free. They're vegan. They're gluten-free. No preservatives. Preservatives, low calories. They also have truffles that are coming out now. I hope they send me samples of that. But yeah, That's It fruit and veggie bars. They're good. And they won't weigh you down. It's not like when you eat like a traditional granola bar, you feel like you want to die afterwards. You know, those are like 800 calories. These are healthy and nice. So that's it for this podcast. It's Not So Calm podcast.
Good night.
If you enjoyed it, you can subscribe on iTunes.
I forgot that it was on when I was talking about Harvey Weinstein. So I hope I didn't.
You didn't say anything bad.
Well, no, I forgot. Well, you like when I do that, right? When I forget
that's
that
honest.
It's on.
You didn't say anything bad about anything.
No,
we're,
I didn't.
We're condemning these assholes.
I had forgotten we were even doing that. I was just talking.
Well, that's the whole point of a podcast, right?
Oh,
we talk.
Okay.
But so we're definitely fine. So subscribe to the podcast on Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Podbean, or wherever you use to listen to podcasts. You can subscribe to the podcast. You can leave a comment. You can rate it. To help give it a boost. If you want to directly support me, I have a Patreon. It's patreon.com/ Pat Contry. I appreciate your support there. What were you saying, Frank, about Amazon Prime? Yeah, Frank's on Amazon Prime. Check out the video game years on Amazon Prime. And that'll be supporting me, too. And then I'll kick a buck or two Frank's way there. I'll give you some veggie bars. I can't believe I never gave you the freaking veggie bars before.
Buy me a beer.
I already do that. All right, I'll see you next time.
All right.